I really wish when I was a kid we had time with young disciples. I really do. And I really wish we had Holy Moly and things like that. Because learning my Bible stories, I had to do it a little bit differently. Let me tell you how I had to learn my Bible stories. Every Sunday, I had to go to Mass at St. Ignatius of Antioch Catholic Church at West Boulevard and Lorraine Avenue, 0.4 miles from home. Now, I had to go every week because if I didn't, it was a mortal sin. And I was flirting with the eternal fires of you-know-where. And if I didn't go, it would even have been worse. I'd have been flirting with the sudden fires of my dad's ire. So I went to church. And it was a majestic cathedral church built around the turn of the last century. But as a kid, I was bored to tears. I would sit on the kneeler, the padded kneeler, because it was a lot more comfortable than the straight-back hardwood pew. And Sunday after Sunday, with my afro plastered down by my mom's Aquanet, I would look myopically through my torn-rimmed glasses and stare at the church's stained glass windows. There were about 20 stained glass windows. They were 15 feet high, and they each had about 8 panels. And each one told a Bible story from start to finish. Jacob's wrestling match, and the story of the Good Samaritan, and Noah's Ark were absolutely my favorites. While the dude up front prattled on, I was in a different world. Each of the stained glass stories were incredible. They took me to a different time and place. I am not kidding at all when I say that really was my first experience of Visio Divina. I was enthralled with each of the windows. And for me, the characters of my Bible stories were all people with placid, kindly faces who had even just a hint of a smile on their face at all time, even if they were behind the hippo trying to get him into the ark. And they all wore halos. Every one of them wore halos. Now, we fast forward to my young adulthood. Picture, if you will, a jet black sweet mullet. I kid you not. My wife said she'd have never married me. Glasses the size of 2 manhole covers. I was cool. And I was in the midst of seminary. And I was at seminary at the height of the historical critical methodology of studying the Bible. My professors told me the only way to study the Bible is to look at each word with skepticism and through the postmodern eye. The great heroes of faith were stripped of their halos. I was taught they would have been more comfortable wearing gangster fedoras than halos. Not quite, you know, the horns, not quite, but characters nonetheless. My seminary professors reduced my Bible heroes to being more motivated by the 7 deadly sins than by the fruit of the Spirit. And the truth is that, as Jan was saying, our great heroes of faith are neither perfect saints nor perfect sinners. They're people like us, trying their best to love and serve the Lord, as human as we are, full of quirks and full of it. Most of the time. In our next season, we're going to be focusing on these heroes that have led us to the coming of Christ. And our focus will be on the fact that they are like us, great people, neither stained glass saints nor low-down sinners. They are the most human of people, with doubts and faults and strengths and weaknesses and great moments and plenty of foibles. Yet God raised them up just as God raises each and every one of you up. They are not necessarily broken, but dented. A broken down car will not run. But as my 2001 Ford Focus will testify, a car with dents held together with duct tape, cracked windshields, scrapes and bumps and dents. It doesn't look pretty at all. But where would I be without it? It is still of great use. By looking at how God used Noah and Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Ruth and Joshua and Esther, we will see how God still works through us and depends on us to tell his word. We're going to start with Noah. Now, we know the stories from flannel boards and from downloads and Jan's great message with the young disciples. You just cut my sermon like in half. Everyone should be thankful for you, Jan. God starts over, they leave the ark, and it goes on, and then God makes covenant with them. Let us hear the word of God, starting at Genesis chapter 9, verses 7 through 18 for now. And the Lord God speaks to Noah. He breaks in, epiphany moment. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah, and to his sons with him, I will establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on the earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God further said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who scattered over the whole earth. From one man, the family of God begins again. We begin to repopulate and rebuild the good earth and humanity's relationship with God. Now, in the perfect world, if humanity were not human, our Bible would be really skinny. It would end right there. But we are human. God made us that way. It is who we are. And Noah was just as human as the rest of us. His descendants are human. We are all humans. So let's pick up the story now with Genesis 9, 20 through 29, and look at the humanness of our hero. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders, and they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so they would not see their father naked. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves. Will he be to his brother?" And Noah also said, "Praise be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tents of Shem. And may Canaan be the slave of Japheth." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years and then he died. So Noah begins to reconstitute the earth by planting the vineyards. And the Bible doesn't pull any punches, does it? Not a punch. It tells it straight out. He got himself drunked up and passed out. That's what it says. He embarrassed himself. He embarrassed his sons. And then he reacts badly, horribly, to the embarrassment, and he breaks the relationship with his son, Ham. Noah was human. He sinned and fell short of the glory of God an instant after receiving God's providence. To me, I take great comfort in this because it shows how complex we human beings really are. We really are this interesting cauldron of saint and sinner, of good and bad, of doing our best and falling short. And we always have been this way. And God is faithful still. I was so glad we sang that old hymn today, Great is Thy Faithfulness, because I really believe it. I really believe that. God is faithful despite us because he loves us. I think our sermon series is going to be driven by the people that we study, but our focus is always going to be on God because God is faithful still. Think about how easy it would have been for God. God just does everything for Noah, everything. And Noah acts like those people did before. I know if I was God, what I would do. Forget the covenant. Smite Noah. And just forget forget all of you. Just forget it. I don't need this. But God is God and I am not. God is faithful. God is faithful to God's promises. God remained faithful to Noah for 350 years after the drunken episode. God was with Noah. God was with Noah even though his was dented, even though a lot of those dents are self-inflicted. One of my favorite all-time statements about God comes from the brief statement of faith of the Presbyterian Church USA, 1983. I've quoted it to you before. I quote it all the time. As I face St. Peter at the gates of heaven, I'll quote it to him, I'm sure. God is faithful still. God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant, like a mother who will not forsake a nursing child, like a father who welcomes the prodigal home. God is faithful still. I love these words because it defines our relationship with God forever. Faced with Noah's stuff, God loved him. God was faithful. Faced with my sins, my failings, my stuff, God is faithful still. We hurt, we rage, we fall short, we act stupidly, and God is faithful to each and every one of us forever. That's the promise of John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but life eternal. 17 is just as cool. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Each and every one perfect person who believes in him is saved. What I'm hoping for is that you feel that assurance this morning. So what then can we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only Son, but gave him for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who can bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who has saved us. It is God who loves us. It is the God who is faithful. It is the God who is with us. It is God who loves us when our halos are dented. It is God who loves us when we actually take the halos off and throw them to the ground. It is God who loves us when we wear them with pride and we go forth in strength. It is God who loves us even when we are human. God loves us so much that Jesus Christ died for us. More than that, he is raised to life and is at the right hand of the God praying for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? Shall we separate ourselves from the love of God when we try to wear the devil's horns? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God remains faithful. God remained faithful to the very human Noah. God remains faithful to the very human you, loving us still. God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant, like a mother who will not forsake a nursing child, like a father who welcomes the prodigal home. God is faithful still.